Morning. There, good. Okay. There it goes. Okay, so this morning's topic is stimulation, and it'll make more sense once we go through. Okay, so it might be a bit of an odd heading to start with, but hopefully this will make sense. To introduce it, I always start off by telling you a story. When I was at university after I left BT many years ago, that's now 21 years ago, believe it or not. Still feels fresh, but that's a long time ago. However, when I was at uni, I had a philosophy class, and our philosophy lecturer posed us a situation to discuss. The situation was that there was this young girl. At the time, she was 3, 4, 5 years old. She had Down syndrome. She was fixated about climbing. And during those years, once she passed the crawling stage, even started in the crawling stage, she was constantly climbing, but constantly falling and breaking her bones. So by the time she got to the age of 6, she'd broken every bone in her body. Now, the parents were absolutely distraught. But someone said to them, I know someone that can help you. So do you mind if I get them in touch with you? No, that's fine. So this person came and spoke to them and said, I can help with this situation. However, you're going to have to trust me. I need to come and live with you for a few weeks. And whatever I do, you need to accept what I'm going to do. So they said, okay, they agreed. So this person turned up at their house a few weeks later. What they'd said was, I'm going to literally be at your daughter's side 24/7 for a few weeks, 3 to 4 weeks minimum. Okay, so they turned up with cattle prod in hand. And they said, right, so they get in. And every time this little girl tried to climb in something, he jabbed her with the cattle prod. Right. Now, at this point, that sounds like quite a horrific story. Okay? However, the point of the story was, within 3 weeks, that girl stopped climbing. So for 45 years, she'd been constantly climbing, falling, breaking bones, in and out of hospital. They'd involved all sorts of psychologists, educational therapists, everybody been in, nothing worked. That was an extreme measure, but within 3 weeks, that girl stopped climbing, and she was cured, if you like, of that fixation, and therefore stopped injuring herself. Now, it was posed as a philosophical question as to whether or not that was the right approach to take. But what it does do is it highlights something that I want to talk about this morning, and that's why I've used the word stimulation. Because what he did was he definitely stimulated that girl to stop climbing. Okay? And it worked. Now, having said that, what we want to do is just turn to our scripture for this morning. So we're going to read from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Where are we? 19, there we go. So, therefore, my brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, so what does that have to do with that story? Well, what I want to do is go back to, so was the scripture up there? It was okay. Just in the third room, was it? Can you go back to verse 24 for me, Phyllis? want you to look at verse 24. I'll read this side, right? So let's consider how we must spur one another on. Some interpretations or translations of it, it says, let us encourage one another. Right? And this is where the story ties in, because in other verses, and just to show you, I've got an alternative translation here. In this translation, in verse 24, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So some translations will say encourage or spur on. Some say provoke. Other translations will say stimulate or exhort. And the reason I told that story on is because when you actually look at the original, so in the original text, the Greek word, I'll just write it here, is, I shall try and pronounce this, go away, paroxysmos. Right, so the Greek word is paroxysmos. And what it says, to exhort or stimulate, and it is defined using the words irritation, indignation, spurring, and excitement. Okay, so if you think back in relation to that story, putting aside the moment, the morals of that story, but what we have here is the tool really that guy used to solve that wee girl's addiction was he irritated her. He was indignant about her changing. He spurred her on to change. Right? So sometimes I think we read that verse, if we read it with the word encourage, for me personally, I think that's a weak translation. Because what it's telling us is that we need to exhort each other, that we need to stimulate each other to move on with God, to achieve, to develop, to meet together, to build each other up. It's more than just encouragement. It's about pushing each other and inspiring each other. So if we take the word stimulate and look right, so what does that actually mean? If we break that down, so I come up with four other words that kind of sum up stimulation. And they are urge, advise, caution earnestly, and admonish urgently. That's the kind of main definition of that word. So if we look at urge first of all, so what is it to urge? If we urge one another, what are we doing? Well, to urge is to drive forcibly and entreat earnestly and persistently. So again, persistently I thought was key in there, because obviously early in the verse it says, or early in the chapter it says, but not giving up, meeting together. So there's a persistence there. There's a sense of timing. So that sense that there's a need to act. And it says, is it verse actually 25 where it says, all the more as you see the day approaching. I don't know your personal views. I think, obviously, as time goes on, just naturally we're getting closer to the end times. I personally think there's a lot of signs in recent times that for me says that we're getting very close to Jesus' return. How close, I don't know. I don't have a date just before MD challenges me and that. But I think it's definitely getting very, very close. So there is that sense of urgency, and that's contained in that word. We need to urge each other, because there's a sense of urgency in moving towards those days and preparing for Christ's return. And if we're doing that, there's no time to waste being casual about it. We need to be serious about it. In verse 23, it says, hold fast to what we have. So there's the potential here. There's also what we already have. So what we already gained, what you're already able to do, what you're already doing is included. That's important, and that needs to continue. But regardless of where you stand with God today, regardless of where your relationship is with Jesus, how far that's developed, how deeply ingrained it is in your life, there's room for more. We all have potential. Whatever stage that we're at on our journey with Christ, we have the potential to go further. So if we have that potential, what do we need to do? We need to advise each other. To advise is to notify and to make recommendations. So we should be giving out, what do you think, good advice or bad advice? Good. Okay, there's two or three people think good. The rest of you wanting bad advice? Presumably we all want good advice. We also need to give good advice. So in order to give good advice, we need to think out what that advice is. But we need to be offering advice to each other. So if you see someone that's struggling, get alongside them and give them some advice. Yeah, we can get along and give each other a pat on the back, a wee bit of encouragement, have a bit of a laugh. That's great. But we need to be giving each other good advice. We need to be exhorting each other to move on. The next part of the definition was caution. So we need to exercise this with caution. So when we caution someone, what we're doing, well, we're giving them a warning. We're being prudent. We're being careful. We're saying, yeah, wait a minute. You thought about this? Maybe. Should you? But sometimes we do need to caution each other because we see, and we need to take this on board ourselves. So we need to accept caution from other people. So maybe if we are doing something, someone comes to us and says, well, you know, I know you said you were going to do that, but should you be doing that? Is that the right thing to do? Maybe it's not. Maybe we need to think about that. Take that on board, because that is what it's telling us we should be doing. We then need to admonish. So admonish is to reprove, rebuke, or give advice. So sometimes there needs to be correction. And that's included in there as well. So when it says to stimulate each other, to support each other, to encourage each other, to exhort each other, right, it's also about giving correction. Because we need to, if we're going down separate paths in a relationship, one is in the wrong path. So you need to get alongside somebody else, guide them onto the right path. So we need to be aware that sometimes that can be quite difficult. But does that mean that we shouldn't do it? So there needs to be that sense of admonishment where we feel that urgency that we need to get alongside people and try and steer them in the right direction because we feel they're going in the wrong direction. So we need to be that for each other. We need to be that tiller, if you like, that helps to steer each other onto the right path. Now, in saying all that, I just want to go back on to verse 25. So in verse 25, it says, when it says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, in that verse, although it's repeating that instruction, it actually uses a different word. So the word that's used is parakaleo, which means to comfort, console, and encourage. So it's doing the same thing, that's talking about that pushing each other on, encouraging each other towards being better, doing more for Christ, but in a way that's comforting and consoling. So it doesn't mean we go out brashly shouting at each other that we're doing the wrong thing, telling each other to get the finger out and go on with it. But it should be done in a sensitive way. But it should still be done. It is important and it is urgent that we obey the word of God and that we encourage each other. But it's equally important that we do it out of a heart of love. That we do it because we want to see each other grow and develop and to become more Christ-like. We need to recognise our potential, and often we don't. Quite often we don't see potential in ourselves. We'll easily see potential in others. It's easy to see potential in others to say, yep, tell people you can do it. You can do it. No, encourage it so you can do it. But then if people say to us that we can do it, we go, oh, no, I can't do it. So we need to recognise that potential not just in others, but in ourselves. So as well as stimulating each other to be more for Christ, we need to recognize and give that place to other people to stimulate us to grow. Now, the other part of that, just going back, the other part of that verse in 24, it's, you know, do not give up, 25, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And there's a couple of elements of that. So first of all, we'd think, obviously coming through COVID, there's a number of churches that have actually completely shut down because people have given up meeting together. And if we're honest, within the fellowship, there are people that have given up meeting altogether. But also, are there some of us that have given up meeting in other areas? Have we given up going to house groups? Have we given up going to prayer meetings? Have we given up meeting each other socially? What have we given up? What areas have we given up meeting in? Because that's saying, as the last days approach, as you get near the last days, it is really important that you do not give up meeting together, because you're going to need that exhortation. You're going to need to encourage one another, to inspire one another, to push one another on in these difficult times. So do not give up meeting together. And, you know, that works both ways. I say it's not just about thinking, well, I need to encourage others, but you need to be open how others can encourage you or stimulate you. So yes, I can stand up this in here and say all this, but it's just as important that this is discussed, and I think this is an important thing. I think this is an important issue. Maybe not everyone agrees, but for me, I think this is really key to this time in the fellowship, that it's something that we need to look at, and it's something that we need to discuss as a whole fellowship. So one of the things that I want to stimulate you to do is continue that discussion and discuss with one another, where are we giving up meeting together? Where are we lacking that encouragement and that inspiration towards each other to move on with Christ? You know, we can sit back, we can relax, we can enjoy the praise and the worship, we can enjoy a bit of fellowship. But in those couple of verses, especially verses 24 and 25, what it's emphasizing is the importance that we are active and engaged in building each other up. Not just making ourselves feel a wee bit better, but actually spurring each other on to bigger and greater things. And as it says, especially in the end times. And it was quite interesting when Alan spoke last week. It's quite interesting when you speak every week, just to be clear. But when Alan spoke last week, and he was saying about how when he put the cloak on, remember? Let's test if you can remember last week. So he put the cloak over his head and talked about being able to speak easier when he can't see your faces all looking at him. Right? And I thought, I really sort of felt something, like a special kind of connection there with what you were saying, Alan, because I know for me, you know, standing up here and talking about all this and talking in front of everybody, it's not me. This is just not me. And like Alan said, it's not natural to do this. But we can do it through him who strengthens me. God will strengthen us to do the things that he's asking us to do. And he's asking us to build each other up. So we need to do that, but we need to do it knowing that God's going to give us the strength, knowing that we're doing it for the right reasons, for the right motivations. So if somebody comes and says something to you, don't dismiss it as, who are they to tell me, blah, blah, blah. Be open to it. Listen to what they're saying. Maybe God's speaking through them. And also, as I mentioned, about, you know, doing things that not just sitting back and encouraging others, but being encouraged yourself. One of the things that I've kind of spoken about this for years, and I've used it a lot in when I was working my employability training in the college, that people use the phrase "I can" an awful lot when it doesn't apply. Because when we say I can't, it's a very definite term. It means it is not possible. But in actual fact, it is possible. So when we say I can't, what we usually mean is I don't want to, or I'm not confident enough, or I don't think I've got the right skills, or whatever. And I was trying to think of just a wee example of how to explain that without causing offence to MD. So I was talking to somebody this week about somebody that was buying a Porsche, and it just made me think of this, and I thought, right, so some of you may know that I retired in September. I don't know if words get round, but I thought about that, and I thought, right, so I've got a choice, or I had a choice back then. So an opportunity came up where I could have retired. So I could have retired and said, you know, oh, that was really nice. You know, I'd love a Porsche myself, but I can't because I'm retired. That's not true. Because I could go back to work and I could save the money up and I could buy a Porsche. In the same way, somebody can buy a Porsche and they say, you know, oh, you're really lucky you're retiring, but I can't retire because I've got this Porsche to pay for. Well, that's not true. You don't have to buy the Porsche, but you can sell the Porsche and then you can use the money to retire. So very often when we say, I can't, we're making a choice for some reason that we feel it's not something that we're able to do or that we simply don't want to do. But to say I can't is not true. Sometimes it means making tough decisions, but it's very rare that you say I can and it's actually true. Normally it's for another reason. So that's something that I would ask you to consider. Whenever you go to say I can't, is that actually true that you can't, or is it some other reason that you're saying no? Because at the end of the day, we are being exhorted through Hebrews to reach our potential in God. We are being pushed to become more, to become better, to be more confident, to be more able, to be more engaged. And if we do that as a body, then we can become a really, really strong church for God and a really strong presence in this town. There's always that potential to increase. So that brings us round to a challenge, which is, do you believe that? Do you believe you've got that potential? Because God says you have. He says that you can do anything through Him who will strengthen you. And He says that we need to exhort each other, to stimulate each other, to do these things in spite of how we might lack in confidence. So just before I wind this up, what I want to do is to play a song, okay? So Phyllis is just going to put the song on a second. When this song goes on, what I want you to do, close your eyes, listen to the words of the song and consider what I've said this morning, okay? And then I've just a couple of things to say before I finish off, fellas.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. of me. I believe the only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth, in you I find my identity.
The question that that song poses at the end is, do you believe? Do you believe that you're accepted and that you're enough? Do you believe that you measure up? Do you believe that you're strong and not weak? Do you believe that you fit in? So I want to stimulate you this morning to believe these things. And I want to challenge you with a couple of practical things. One, have a discussion about this. Let this be a discussion that we're all involved in, and how we can stimulate each other to move on to greater things. And two, to believe in yourself, to believe that you can and not that you can't, and to encourage yourself and to encourage each other to build up. Let's build ourselves up. And if you think with people that are not here, people that have not attended for a while, encourage them to listen to the messages on the website, because they'll get uploaded to the website. So encourage them to listen, so that maybe that'll encourage them to re-engage and not give up meeting together, as people are doing. So let's meet together. But let's meet together with a purpose to push each other on. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you that for every feeling that we have of weakness, that you give us the promise of strength, that you are our all, that you will strengthen us and enable us to do anything that you require of us. Lord, give us that confidence, give us that strength to become your servants and your ambassadors in this town, to let our light shine to the people in this town and to encourage them to come to meet with us and to grow with us as we grow together. In Jesus' name, amen. Greg?